This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Glee. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Glee news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Glee!
Happy holiday, Gleeks out there. I'm Roxy Stryer, along with Billy Nellis.
Hello.
And Mia Smith.
Hey.
We're back.
Happy holidays.
We don't have Jesse in the booth tonight, but we do have the wonderful Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello, guys.
Okay, so this was a holiday episode that was not so cheerful. Am I right? Am I wrong? I guess I need to be more positive going into this. And there were good parts. There were bad parts. What are we thinking?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be a really polarizing episode.
Yep.
I think people are either really not gonna be on board with it, or they're gonna be on board all the way. But it's not gonna be sort of one where people just like.
Yeah, it's hot and cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it definitely, they went with some stylistic choices that I think are going to, probably threw people a little bit.
Yeah, but at least it was different. That's what I'll give it. It was not your average. It wasn't what I was expecting. But as far as that goes, if you had to say hot or cold, how are you feeling about it?
I'm actually hot on it. I liked what they did with the Christmas special.
I can't choose hot or cold. Like, I have to fall somewhere in the middle because there were parts that I really liked and there was a lot that kind of had me on my phone texting and not paying attention. And so, I don't know. I can't.
I think maybe because there was such a slow start to it, we really got a couple ballads at first and picking up with Rory's song at the beginning.
Oh.
And it was like depressing, and even the people on the show were like, this is depressing, why are we doing this? And we went right into Rachel Berry's number that was really slow. And
they did do those too, which is really weird because I actually downloaded the entire, because they always put an entire like Christmas CD out every for the past this year and the year before, and there's always more songs than actually make the episode. And so I know all the other songs that they recorded, and it was very odd to me, the ones that made it into the episode, as opposed to the ones that were left just on the CD, there were definitely some more upbeat songs that weren't put into the show this week.
Why do you think that was? Storyline?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, having Rory sing Blue Christmas, I understood that he's sad because he wasn't going home, so that song made sense, but it is a very, it's a sad song. When you have to script one of your characters saying that was one of the most depressing things I've ever seen, then maybe you should think about the choice of what your audience is going to say watching the same song. I mean, it's very weird to script a character in your show bashing on a song that you've just made your entire audience watch for 3 minutes.
It was very clear that they put the song in there and then they didn't want the audience to think that they thought it was good, so they had a character comment on the fact that it was depressing and slow.
Right. It wasn't weird.
Yeah, it wasn't even just that it was depressing. It was weird.
It was just staged very poorly.
Yeah.
This episode was actually directed by Matthew Morrison.
Right.
And so I'm gonna blame it on him. He did nothing with that scene. Rory stood there and didn't do anything. There was nothing. There was nothing that happened in that song to make you enjoy it. There was no life to it.
There wasn't even emotion in his face, really.
It was just very strange direction and a very strange vision to present that song.
I definitely agree. And I was going to say about in his face, he's the least experienced actor mm-hmm. and the least experienced singer, especially as far as this show goes. So why are you going to place the one person who's new to the show mm-hmm. on a stage with no choreography, no expression, no backing, by himself? He's not even swaying. He's awkwardly standing there. Yeah. And when every face in the audience is exhausted by it, and then Santana finally says it was the most depressing waste of her life song that she ever had. And I was like, well then, why didn't they make us watch it? Yeah, why did I just watch this and then have them say it?
Right. And then to go immediately into Rachel singing right. River, which is a beautiful song and actually is one of my favorite Christmas songs, but not an upbeat song in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
And there was really no buffer musically in between the two of them.
At least Rachel's had more background. And
there's something visually artistic to look at.
With Rory, I felt bad for the kid.
It's like, I did too.
The kid that gets tomatoes thrown at him on stage and gets booed off. I was like, oh. And I had such a hard time.
Yeah, I feel like that was more of a contract thing than anything else. Like, that's what it felt like. It felt like we promised this guy this amount of songs.
But then why that song?
You know, here's the thing, though, is I've been reading that they want to extend him. So someone at Glee likes him, actually. And
well,
he's probably going to be
around
longer,
like him.
Longer than they offered him when he won
really?
The reality show.
People on Twitter like him?
Yeah. When I search Glee as I watch it, a lot of people are like, oh, go Rory and go, what's his name? Damien something?
Damien McGinty. Yes. Is that the actor's name? Yes.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people like this guy. I don't know. I don't see it.
How are you guys feeling about him as a character?
Take or leave it. I don't.
Here's the thing.
He's irrelevant
Glee,
to me.
The universe of Glee is already so huge. There's already so many characters. I mean, you look this week. Emma hasn't been in a show for the past 4 weeks except for like a glance of her.
Yeah.
Will, I mean, of course, Matthew Morrison was directing, so that's obviously why there was very little bit with Will Schuster in the show himself, because he was behind the scenes so much.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't involved this week at all. Sue was hardly involved. I'm like, there's so many people who I already care about.
Right.
I don't have the energy to care about this extra new character now.
Agreed.
I agree. As far as Will and Emma go, I know we have some news and gossip about that coming, mm-hmm. though, so we can wait for that. But let's talk a little bit about the Christmas special and the black and white scenes and how we were feeling and the songs during it. So what do we think about my favorite line? I had to write this down between...
I think you tweeted it. What was it?
I tweeted it. And Kurt comes out and says, this is my best friend and holiday roommate.
Yes. Roommate.
So they were clearly making fun and poking at network television. Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was actually until Finn and Puck showed up in that black and white segment when it was just Blaine and Kurt and the two girls. It was a very spot on homage to like a 1950s Christmas special that mm-hmm. would have been hosted by Bing Crosby. Or someone like that who would have been given an hour on NBC to bring his friends around and sing Christmas carols in some set of a house. Mm-hmm. It was spot on the way that they were acting. So it made sense that they wouldn't refer to them being gay because they were playing up this sort of 1950s feel and vibe. And actually, I know that there's a lot of people who did not like this part, but that's the part that saved the episode for me because I thought it showed a sense of originality that Glee has never done before.
Yeah.
They really ventured outside of something that they haven't done. And if we look back at last year's Christmas special, they did the same thing as well. They spent a good chunk of the show reenacting the Grinch with Sue.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done these throwbacks to these Christmas things that we revere as good, which I would take hands down over the Extraordinary Merry Christmas song that somebody wrote for this show, which I thought sounded like something that Pink would have thrown away if a producer brought it to her.
Right.
So
that's a perfect way to describe it, too.
I'm like, that was really...
Hit the nail on the
spot on.
So that really is what redeemed it for me. And I know we were all reading Twitter during the show, and I know that I'm probably in the minority, and some people did not like what they did with that black and white part, but I found it sort of daring in an artistic sense.
Actually, on the contrary for me, at least in the beginning part that you mentioned before, I thought it was super cute, and they sang songs that I knew and was familiar with, and Favorite Things is one of my favorite songs. Like, it's on my... I have, like, a playlist of happy songs that make me smile, and that's one of them. And so I was delighted.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of mixed feelings about it. Honestly, at first, I was really into it. I think it might have been a little too long for my taste. It took up the majority of the episode.
Well, I agree with that. The thing for me is either the entire... I feel like the entire episode should have been done that way.
Yes, or a snippet.
Or very, yes. Like, two Agreed. Songs.
But it was hard for me to switch between not doing that to doing that mm-hmm. to not doing mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what threw me off most about this episode was I didn't have enough time to... fully get into anything or I had too much time and I was like, what is this? Where it was almost like, well, I would have rather that. Oh, no, wait, I'm not really sure. So I did like the black and white and I thought that it was different and artistic and I enjoyed it, but I don't think it worked in this episode the way they placed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite part of the black and white was just the beginning. I thought the Cheerios were cool, whatever. It was great. Finn and Puck were just awkward. And Rory, again, was awkward.
Yeah, the him coming in and it got very, very religious.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was very odd to me.
What was that story?
I mean,
can anybody explain what that was?
I don't know. If out there, if you're listening, if you know what he read at the end of the Black and White segment, please call in 424-256-1729. We're apparently a bunch of heathens who do
that. Well, like, seriously, I've never felt so Jewish in my entire life. I'm like, what is going on? I don't know a single Christmas
song. Speaking of plugging the number, why don't we do take a caller? Caller 818, you are on the line.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, I'm from Sherman Oaks, California.
Great. So are you calling to talk? Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I was looking on Twitter about Glee, and it said something about, thoughts on tonight's polarizing episode of Glee.
Yeah. What are you thinking about that?
Well, what do you mean by polarizing?
Oh, well, I just meant that there are people who seem to hate it and people who seem to love it. It pushed people to one side or the other.
Okay, well, here's what I think of it. And this happened last year, because I started watching it last year and I really liked it, except for when it came to the so-called holiday episode. Mm. I don't understand how when you've got, characters who are Jewish, there's no mention of Hanukkah.
Yeah. Right.
And we all...
We talked about
and,
that.
Right? But Glee makes this huge, huge issue out of, promoting diversity.
Yes.
So where's the diversity in not mentioning Hanukkah or having the Jewish characters celebrate Hanukkah?
I completely agree with you. And I don't even think it's just because I am Jewish. I think that anybody would look at it this way. It's really nice to have a character or characters on the show who all the time represent being Jewish, talking about their heritage and how it's important to them and raising their kids that way. Rachel's brought up and Puck and everything like that. And for them to not bring it up the entire episode until the very last line.
And it was
Happy
really,
Hanukkah,
it
just
was
thrown in
really
there.
Shooed in.
It was really shooed in when Rachel says at the very end, Happy Hanukkah, to passerby. It didn't make any sense to me.
Right. And it seems to be that there's always sort of been this thing, and I agree with you completely. Glee does this a lot. They do preach this sort of thing about inclusiveness and mm-hmm. and embracing diversity, and then they sort of also tend to mock it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And there's no greater example of that than their holiday episodes, which are – they shouldn't be called a holiday episode. They should be called the Christmas episode because there
it is. Yeah, it's a Christmas episode, which is fine, because, I'm pretty old, and I grew up at a time when, nothing was ever mentioned about Hanukkah. It was always Christmas. So, I wouldn't care. If you want to just be Christmas, whatever. But don't have your so-called Jewish characters just so you can show how un-Jewish they can be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Completely conforming.
To me, Glee is nothing but, their diversity is just like, you have to be the right diversity
mm-hmm.
or
right.
the right minority or whatever to fit into their agenda, and which basically becomes, very hypocritical.
Right, and I agree.
I'd rather just not see Jews on TV because I don't care. It's like if you're not going to show something authentic, if you can't show that, then don't show anything.
I agree with you. I do. And it did feel very cheap to the character of Rachel Berry. to have her be a character who's always brought up the fact, and Puck as well, but Rachel's always sort of brought up the fact that she's Jewish and always spoken about that. But then this, you know, this week, all she cares about is giving Finn a Christmas list.
Yeah.
And I was like, this girl would not do this. Yeah. Whoever wrote this doesn't understand this character.
And they so easily could have rephrased it and said, these are the 8 presents I want for the 8 nights of Hanukkah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It would have been done in a second. I don't understand why they didn't do it like
that. It was handled very poorly.
But speaking to the notion of diversity, it was interesting to me also that they were so focused on the people throwing the party were Blaine and Kurt, which is obviously a gay couple on the show. Mm-hmm. And then they don't have Finn and Rachel come together, but they do have Brittany and Santana come together. And I just thought it was interesting that they were clearly being very aware of this and wanting to show the couples coming together, but not paying attention to religion at all and wanting to show diversity there. It was strange to me what they chose to focus on.
Oh, and by the way, Kwanzaa's never mentioned ever.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Not even any characters. Well, thank you for calling, caller. I really appreciated your views on the show.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate that somebody else notices besides me. And they also did this last year and apparently the year before. So I guess this is just...
Maybe next year, let our voice be heard. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
so let's go on to talk a little bit about after they did the show, they end up going to the soup kitchen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But before that, they weren't going to go.
Right.
If they didn't have time. What do we think about this decision and how it kind of was looked past? And the only people were Sam and Quinn that decided to skip out on the fame and the special. And they just went straight to the soup kitchen because that's what they felt in their heart. What did you guys think about that?
It was sort of like a weird mixed message because it was clearly the intention was we were supposed to sort of not like the fact that the Glee Club didn't do that. And we wanted them to redeem themselves by going. Mm-hmm. But yet we spent a lavish 30 minutes on them doing the wrong thing and making that something that was so great. So it's just we seem to always have this sort of criticism about Glee sort of wanting their cake and eating it too. And they have this message, but then they do things that are completely in the opposite of the message that they're trying to present at the same time, to where the viewer sort of has a whiplash because then all of a sudden, okay, now they want to go to the soup kitchen immediately after, and that just feels cheap and it doesn't feel authentic at all to me.
And go ahead.
Well, for me, yes, I definitely agree with what you're saying, but I felt some sort of way that they were even presenting it as either or. I don't see anything wrong with having your cake and eating it too. Like, why couldn't they do, in my mind, when Sue was all upset about, well, you promised that you would be here, I'm just like, well, they can go the next day. In my mind, that's what I was thinking. I don't see anything wrong with this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity presenting itself. Why can't they do this TV special? Like, how often are they presented with a chance to do this? Like, let them do this, be present in it, enjoy this moment that they have, and then come and then take that experience and the joy from it and then share it with the people at the soup kitchen the next day
but
or later.
But They'd already committed.
That's the part that bothers me. It's because... You know,
it's like breaking the commitment for the better thing.
Right. You're always going to have something else. There's always going to be something that sounds more fun than going to a soup kitchen.
Right.
Let's be honest. You know, we are busy people.
And we can always put it off till the next day and the next day and the next day and something else shows up.
And then nothing. Eventually, it doesn't happen.
So that's just what bothered me is that they canceled the commitment they'd already made because they found something better.
I thought instead they should have said, well, we have this. We can come at this time. I mean, they're 24 hours a day, but they didn't do that.
Right.
And instead they show up, and I was shocked when Sue, open arms, lets them in.
Well, that's what I'm...
Which is great, because that's the spirit of the holiday that should be. She should have open arms, but it did feel like we were supposed to feel like the Glee Club redeemed themselves by going, and I guess that just bothered me, because it felt too forced, because it happened way too fast, I guess, for me.
No, yes, I definitely agree, and what you're saying is right. They could have just made... They could have said, well, this presented itself, so we're going to do this.
And
we're just going to push our time back and come and arrive at this time. But that's what I'm saying, that you can do both. It doesn't have to be this hard choice where it's just like, do I do what I want to do or do I do what I should do? When you can do both.
Right.
Yeah, and I do agree.
They should have scripted it that way.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. They should have been able to figure that out. Right. And instead, we feel this moral dilemma.
Yeah.
And I felt the entire time while I was watching them and we were flashing to Sam and Quinn, I didn't want them to be there. And I think that's part of the problem I had so much with all the black and white scenes, because I was like the entire time thinking they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So I already had a negative stigma towards it, you know?
Right.
And I just didn't like the way that worked out. But okay, so finally we do get to the soup kitchen. Everybody's embracing. And they seem to all be reading and doing. What do we think about this scene and how we felt? Was it cheerful and happy, and we were ready for the holiday spirit?
That song that they sang at the shelter is a great song. It's from the 80s, from this event called Band Aid that was put together, and it was like 25 different like huge musicians. They wrote this song, and it was called Do They Know It's Christmas After All? And the whole point of Band Aid was to raise money for people in Africa. I'm not sure the exact details of who was being raised, money was being raised for, but it had to do something with Africa. And it is a great song, and it's sort of about how these people who are suffering, do they even know that there's this joy going on, and can we bring them this joy? And can
right.
we? So it obviously has it has a parallel in them coming to the soup kitchen and sort of bringing some sense of happiness, and that was great. And I also did read Lea Michele tweeted that song is being sold as a single on iTunes starting tonight, and the proceeds are going to the Band Aid Foundation. So if you like the song that they sang at the soup kitchen,
or you just want to support, be generous,
you can go buy the 99-cent or $1.29 single, and those proceeds are going towards the foundation that was set up 25 years ago when this song was written.
Great.
So I thought that was great.
By the way, shout out to Billy for being the biggest music expert. We're watching things.
He knows all the songs.
Oh my God, knows all the songs, knows all the history. Didn't have to Google or look up any of that. He's like on it like this. So I don't know what we would do without you on the show. The two of us would be sitting here like, it's a good song. I like the music. Oh, that song was slow.
We're just like, what song is that? Billy.
Before we even get the chance now, you notice he goes,
yes,
this song is by this person. And here's a little background story about it. I'm like,
here's the exact year this song was recorded.
I'm like, I knew that. Let me say that again.
I do know a lot of music.
Oh, modest.
Okay. He's so humble.
So, all right. So we went through the Christmas special. We went through the soup kitchen. And the really only character thing that we see in the episode is between Finn and Rachel. So
the whole thing, really.
Yeah.
There's a little bit with a little growing friendship, I think, between Sam and Rory, which doesn't really excite me because I don't really care about Rory, but I do think that's something that they're building on that started this week with Sam taking Rory under his wing.
Which probably has to do with the fact that they want Rory to stay on, so they want us to start liking him more.
Yeah, or caring about
him. Giving him some connections. Because at this point, I just feel bad all the time for him. And I don't like feeling so bad for a character all the time.
Right.
Honestly, but, like, I don't really feel anything for him. And when I saw that, the whole him and Sam thing, I was just like, oh, well, Sam's not a series regular anyway. So I just didn't really click for me. I was like, all right, next.
You mean Trouty Mouth? We can't help it. I just look at him.
Every time I see him. Every time.
Okay, so let's talk about Finn and Rachel, though. Right. So basically, we talked about how Rachel gives this Christmas list. Is this real life? Are a lot of girls like this and all they want are presents? Yes. You're giving the... It was so gross.
There are girls like that. I know some. They're my friends. I am not them.
The only thing for me is, though, I feel like with the character of Rachel Berry, it's like we take one step forward in maturity and then we take two steps back every episode, the next episode.
It's hard for me to ever trust that she's going to stay.
Right. And it's like every week she learns the same lesson to not be all about herself. And at some point, you stop caring about that person because you're like, okay, why do I have to keep teaching you this? Like, this should be sinking in for you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel, you know, obviously Glee is not realistic and it's not meant to be in any stretch of the word.
Of course.
But you do sort of expect some sort of character development to stick rather than every week it's like a clean slate and everyone's the same thing they were before they learned the lesson they learned last week. And that seems sort of like what is consistently happening with Rachel. And we see it again this week. I mean, I feel like, you know, she learned with the whole rigging the election that she's supposed to be more selfless. Mm-hmm. And then here this week, Christmas, which I don't know why she's even celebrating, she is like a materialistic diva about it. And I'm like, after 3 years, is she still really going to like this? I just, I don't know.
But I mean, go ahead.
Oh, well, when you look at Glee, really, how much has each character really matured? Like, I feel like they bring him back to the first season.
It's literally what I was just going to say. I think that's why some people are getting very frustrated with this season, because we've seen these people grow and shrink. And
every time.
With every single character, it doesn't really seem, nothing seems to stick.
Mm-mm.
It just bounces off of them and bounces off them. And I think people are really starting to get pissed about it.
Well, of course, you can only do that for so long.
Yeah.
And then there's a certain point where you, as a viewer, begin to wonder, is there anything to invest into this anymore?
Right.
You know, it was so much fun in the first season. It was so mm-hmm. brand new and it was just so great. And in the second season, we all loved it so much that we were willing to sort of deal with the things that were like, okay, why is this still happening? Mm-hmm. But we're like, oh, but I love the show because it was so much fun. I want it to be good. But, you reach this point in time where the novelty of your creativity wears off and you have to have something else to back it up.
What would we suggest at this point? How could they save this where we're not getting so annoyed with the characters or frustrated?
I mean, plain and simple, you have to just maintain your character development. You can't just have a clean slate every week. And I think that's what the most frustrating thing is to me. And I hope to a lot of viewers, or else I feel like I'm crazy.
You're not crazy.
But I think I probably am. But in regards to this, I really feel like that's a very simple solution. And I think it's just sort of like maybe some lazy writing where they know that this works, so they just do it over and
sometimes
over again.
Sometimes I watch the show and I think, genius. That plot, that writing was genius. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think, I'm not a writer and I could just so much better phrase mm-hmm. that.
It's just sometimes it's very, there's a...
They forget things.
they forget things
well,
too.
Yes.
But there's also sort of like, there's a formula for for an episode. And it's like a blueprint. There's what a Glee episode is going to be like. And they just plug people into the pieces. And that's sort of, I feel like, sometimes how a script is written on this show.
Yeah.
Which I think can be frustrating.
I know for me, the letdown is starting to come from the fact that when they began this season, I felt like they set it up for everyone to have a storyline and to have some type of arc. And now that we've reached mid-season, it doesn't seem like that's the case anymore. And they set it up for growth, but then no one grows.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, and this is a little bit of a side note, but I was just pissed. Where the hell was Santana this episode?
Where was she?
We've been building her up, and from what I hear, everybody loves her.
Everyone.
So where was her huge solo this episode?
And they kicked it off with Mercedes singing, so obviously they kept her in the loop, and then it's just
right,
like,
and what's actually
Santana
right, as I said earlier in the hour, on the full-length CD, Santana does an amazing version of Santa Baby that should have been in this show.
That would have been so cute.
Why not?
That would have been so cute.
Were they pissed at her that day? So
I don't know.
Like,
I could have
written her in this
I could have done without Blue Christmas or River and had Santa Baby in
by Santana
in the show.
But getting back to what we were saying before about the lack of character development and things sticking to them, it's the lack of relationship development and mm-hmm. chemistry. Rachel and Finn have been together for a really long time, on and off and on and off, but I don't understand why they don't seem to ever get to the point where they want to end things with the other person because they're not actually changing. And instead of saying, Rachel, you're being unreasonable, Finn says...
Finn just sort of does what she wants.
Finn's like, not only did I get her a pig, and then I got her a star,
and then I bought her the earrings.
That I can't afford.
That I can't afford.
Sell my jacket for.
And yes, they did sell the earrings, and yes, they sold the iPad,
But next Christmas, they'll do it all over.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then they'll sell it all over again. And then they'll do it. It's like, really? And I want to believe that they've changed. And I sit here and I'm like, yes, good job. You sold your gifts and you get the meaning of Christmas. But do you?
Right.
And I just feel like...
By the way, speaking of Christmas real quick, we did get a tweet from our new fan, Daryl. Shout out to Daryl. Rachel actually said Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah,
she did.
At the very end.
It was shoehorned in as the credits were rolling, as it was fading to black.
As it was fading to black and people were walking by and somebody else said Merry Christmas and she said
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah. And then the show ended.
Thrown in there. It was like, oh shit, we forgot to add that into the episode.
There's this other religion that people celebrate. And
all you really heard was just the voice. Like, you didn't see her say it. It was just thrown in there.
They did it. They obviously, someone realized at some point, oh, we need to include that. But it was
so right there.
You are correct, Daryl, but I think we need
a little more. Too little, too late.
Too little, too late. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that pretty much covers the episode.
Yeah.
And we can cut to commercial and come back for news and gossip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
After Buzz TV.
Hi.
You know I meant to say
I was
that.
Once like you.
a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV, what do you want to buzz about?
Ooh la la, and now for some news and gossip.
I forgot how smooth that was.
Booth over there, news and gossip, yeah?
Well, I figured sound I'd effect. Do it to Last Christmas from last year. That's my news and gossip song.
One of my favorite Christmas songs.
Song? As you guys can hear, I'm not DJ Jesse. And unfortunately, my associate in the booth, you guys don't know, Adam Sudman, does not want to read the news, so I will read it as read by a fifth grader.
That's good. I stutter all the time, too.
So, Cord Overstreet's first solo single, Beautiful Girl, has been leaked. After leaving Glee last summer, Overstreet went straight to the studio to start working on his acoustic pop debut album, which fans can expect sometime in 2012. Quote, I got a lot of great stuff done, and I'm really excited about how the finished album is going to sound, Overstreet said. I think I'll be ready to release the album around next year. End of quote. Overstreet, who is currently unsigned, comes from a pretty talented family. His father is a country singer-songwriter, Paul Overstreet, and his older brother, Nash Overstreet, is currently the lead guitarist in pop rock band Hot
Shell Ray.
There you go.
I didn't know that.
Perhaps he's sending a message to girlfriend Emma Roberts. The Glee star recently opened up to Ryan Seacrest, admitting that things between him and Emma are great. Everything's going good right now. We have a blast together.
Oh, good for them.
All right. I will buy his album.
I might.
I will listen to
it. I'll do it.
I'm like,
it's
I will
not
listen
like,
to
yes,
it.
I can't wait. I'm like, right. I'll buy it.
I'll listen to it.
I'll give it a listen. Hopefully it's better than Mark Salings. Sorry, Mark.
Don't say anything too mean, because I hear we might be getting him in the following weeks to come. So.
Oh. What? So,
that's exciting, yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad now.
All right, second news I am. Diana Agron may be singing the blues over her love life. The actress has called it quits with Captain America, the First Avenger star Sebastian Stan after 7 months together. The couple began dating in May, just months after Agron split with her I Am Number 4 co-star Alex Pettyfer. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I gotta learn
You're
these
good.
Names.
You're good.
Ironically, the reason for their breakup is similar to why Agron and Stan went their separate ways. While a source told E! That Pettyfer was a little controlling in the relationship, Agron turned out to be super jealous of any woman who appeared too close to Stan, according to U.S. Quote, she was always worried that he was cheating on her while he was filming, the source told the mag, but he never would. If history repeats itself, Agron is sure to bounce back with another just as hot boo in her arms in no time. Hopefully Phil Svitek.
Thank you for that, two cents.
Nice.
That's like the death of any relationship is when the girl starts being crazy jealous. I'm not shocked.
Pretty much.
Especially if you are celebrities with celebrities, it's always like...
Yeah. From what I heard, though, her relationship with Alex Pettyfer was terrible. He's apparently a monster. He's not a nice dude.
I don't
steer hear
great
clear,
things.
Ladies.
Be nice. He's coming in to talk to us.
Everyone I don't like is coming in.
All right. Well, Will Schuster has been on the back burner of the majority of the season, and we miss him. So we will get some more sweater vest Schuster soon. Oh, that's question. question mark. yes, you are, Morrison says happily. When we come back from the break after the holidays, it's going to be a lot of Will and a lot of really great storylines. It's already out there that the next episode is called Proposal. And there's going to be a proposal in a way you've never seen or could have imagined in your life. Morrison also has other ideas for Will and Emma storylines. Emma and Will are living together, and I just feel like there's so much that could be done at home, he says. He's still a virgin. What?
Really?
Huh? What?
So no. I think that...
She is.
She's a virgin.
On the show.
On the show, she's still a virgin. So I think that would be a nice thing to do.
After Buzz exclusive, they're both still virgins.
There you go.
I think that
After Buzz TV exclusive.
And then he goes on to say, "This is the dirtiest interview ever."
Dirty. Okay. I don't think so. I think we're dirtier. No. But yeah, what do we think about storyline design?
I like Emma, and we never get to see Emma.
Her OCD is a great comic relief a lot.
Yeah.
And,
but I wish, though, that wasn't the only reason we saw her, to make fun of someone's, like, debilitating disorder.
That's totally true.
I also love the quirky little thing she says. Like, I still remember from day one of season 3, when she handed...
Me and my best gay, something like that.
And I was just like, I love it. Like, she's so innocent and trying to be helpful.
But even, like, we're out of the picture we have up of her right now. It's so her. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, right. She's adorable.
She's great. And I love Will Schuster, seeing him more. We get to see him more because, obviously, he's more involved with the kids. But more storylines, more fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the stars of Glee have rallied around producer Ryan Murphy after rumors emerged of a rift. An article in U.S. Weekly reported that the show's creator and executive producer had clashed with a number of cast members on the hit Sky One show. But Naya Rivera, I know her better as Santana, I'm just going to call her that, took to Twitter to refute the claims. She wrote, "I think that the malicious things being written about Ryan Murphy are so sad and false. I'm proud to work for such a talented man." Lea Michele retweeted Naya's message and also wrote about her day on set, saying, "Morning, just got to work. We're doing something very exciting over here at hashtag Glee today."
Yeah, I know that Chris Colfer also took Ryan Murphy's back, and every single character did. So, actor did. So that's a good sign. Clearly, if the people you're working with like you, there's no rift. And somebody's just trying to cause drama there.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Now that Miss Triple Threat Lea Michele has kicked off her movie career with a box office champ, how much longer will be seeing her on Glee? Lea recently spoke about what she knows about the future of Ryan Murphy's Showstopper and what rumblings she's heard about getting her own spinoff or shooting the show in New York. Quote, "I think that would be an incredible idea, so we'll just have to see what happens. I definitely think everyone is looking into all different options, so I think it will be something really exciting. I can't say what it'll be, but I think it will be something really fun. I know me and Corey Monteith and Chris Colfer and Naya Rivera are graduating, Amber Riley too. We love our job, love this show, and we really would be happy to be in whatever form it would be. So we'll see what happens. But I'm a New Yorker, so if Rachel Berry gets to hit up New York City, I'm going to be the happiest girl in the whole world." End of quote. Regardless of whether a spinoff happens or not, Lea emphasized how incredible keen she is on shooting in New York City. When we did our episode of Glee in New York City, for whatever reason, it felt like these kids were supposed to be there. Rachel and Kurt specifically. So I definitely think that there is life, but you never know.
I think it's great always when actors come out and say how much they love what they do and how much they want to keep doing it, instead of becoming bigger celebrities and being like, that was fun, but now I'm on to my next new adventure. Mm-hmm. So I give her props for that, for sure.
Yeah, and there's been this talk since the summer, back and forth, about this proposed spinoff for Rachel and Kurt moving to New York and following them. And I don't know that that's really up to anybody but Fox, ultimately, whether they want another show to accompany Glee. So we'll see what happens with that. I do think, though, that if all of the graduating characters were to somehow wind up in New York, that that would be completely unbelievable. Yeah. And a bit ridiculous. I think we are going to have to say goodbye to some of them.
They could come and guest star.
Exactly. Right. But yeah. If they all were just randomly at the same school in New York, they'd be like Saved by the Bell the college years, and I would tune out.
After Buzz out.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you do spinoffs, you don't want to take, you know, the entire group. You want to have them kind of go back and forth. And
yeah, but
you
know. I've got to say, there's pretty bad.
I've got a solution.
Record.
You just have them. You just have them stay at their hometown and teach in the high school.
Oh, mm-hmm. We want bigger and better.
Yeah,
things.
We want them to grow.
Not saying Lima, Ohio. Yeah.
No, that was a bad thing.
Bad solution.
What I didn't say it was a good solution. I just said it was a solution.
It was a solution.
You don't
solution.
Like that solution.
Okay. All right. Uh huh.
Like moving on from that one.
Is that? Are we out? Is that it?
I guess so.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Okay, so just in the preview alone, we see a few things. I'm going to list them out, and then we can go back and talk about them. Because okay. I had to write them down. So we see Sam getting slushed.
Mm-hmm.
Slushied. We see that Will's going to propose, and he tells all of his students about it before he tells Emma, clearly. Mm-hmm. We see Finn wanting to be recruited by the Army or talking to an Army recruiter. We see Becky hitting on Artie and saying they're going to get it on. And we see that Sam has joined the synchronized swimming team.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's break it down in that order. Sam getting slushied. How long has it been since somebody got slushied?
I think since it happened in the
beginning.
The season premiere.
Are we wanting this to be? Is the Glee Club ever going to be cool?
No.
Mm-mm.
And we like it that way?
No, but I don't.
No.
I just don't think it'll ever happen. Yeah. Which is, here's the thing that's so weird is for this school that is like so weird and hates the arts, they have this most magnificent theater I've ever seen at a high school.
Oh my
God. In my entire life.
That's
so
crazy.
Decorations and props galore.
Just tonight for that, Rachel's one number is like covered in beautiful props. It was amazing. Okay, about the proposal. So, is it a smart idea to tell all your students before you propose to the woman you're going to propose?
If he's going to use them in a flash mob.
Yes. And that's what should happen.
Yes. Yes.
Although, I mean, it wouldn't be, like, too original if we had the interview with Matt about how it's going to be a proposal we've never seen. I mean, that's been done a lot, so I don't know, but I...
And Fox does have that new show, Mobbed.
Yeah.
That... kind of does that.
Does that.
That is true.
So, but
he could use them for something.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Finn going to the Army?
I'm not surprised.
Is the Army going to be in New York so he can join that spinoff? Like, is that where this is going?
I'm not surprised that that is, like, an option that would be presented to a person like Finn, who clearly doesn't know where he can go. He's not that great of a student. He doesn't really have any extracurriculars that he's good at. So I feel like a character like that would look at the Army. So I'm not surprised that that's where they're going.
The Army heavily recruits in high school.
Yes.
But I don't know about cross country, but in my high school, they come in all the time and talk to people. So, yeah, I think it was smart of them to bring it into the show. Okay, talking about Becky hitting on Artie.
That
weird.
Weird.
Random.
Could this end up being really mean? And
I hope
something,
not.
I really hope something doesn't happen. I don't know if I like this.
They need to, like, tread careful ground with that. And the way that Artie deals with
it. Very touchy situation.
Whether they make fun of her, I don't know that I'd like that too much.
And is this her own doing? Did Sue put her up to this? Like, it seems...
I don't know.
Where did Becky come from with
this? Speaking of Sue, in my daily life, I have started saying, and that's how Sue sees it. And people look stuff. Some people go, and some people go,
what?
What? What are you talking about?
That's an excellent moment. I love it.
So, and now we've got the synchronized swimming team. Finn clearly thinks it's not a good idea. Sam wants to join or did join.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think about that?
I think this is funny. And what's weird, Diana Agron tweeted today a picture of her and Blaine, Darren Criss, in bathing suits.
Ooh,
so
looking sexy.
So I don't know.
My Darren.
I know.
Yes.
So I feel like
the
that's tied into
knows.
It. I feel like that's tied into it somehow. But she did tweet that picture. They were on set in bathing suits and like old fashioned bathing suits. But
speaking of which, what's going on with any of those girls? Santana, Quinn, Mercedes. Any storyline? Do we see? We don't see predictions with them. Any of those girls?
Well,
Brittany.
I feel like they've got to pick up more on Brittany.
Tina.
You poor Dina. But the whole, I'm sorry, not Brittany, the whole Mercedes and Sam thing, there has to be some sort of continuation of that. Because we saw this week in her opening song, she did like put the tinsel around his neck. Mm-hmm. So clearly there's going to be, whether she leaves her boyfriend or whether she cheats on her boyfriend, there's going to be something with her reuniting.
Will we ever see her boyfriend ever again? Because he hasn't been in the last few episodes either.
I know.
There's just so many characters on the show that it's like impossible.
Yeah. So hard to bring them all in.
Well, that's because her boyfriend was just very random. Like, where did he come from?
Right. Yeah. Any other predictions with Sue?
Sue will always be the same. I don't.
And just quickly to mention, I forgot that I really appreciated that she talked about her sister again and the loss of her sister during this, because it hasn't been mentioned and is important during the holiday times. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly hard, especially if you've recently lost somebody within the last year. So I was glad that they brought that up.
Yeah. And the way that Sue was in this episode is sort of the way that I wish Sue is in all episodes. Like, I'm sort of over Sue being completely intent on destroying the Glee Club. Like, I feel like we've had 2.5 years of this. Like, this
character
is,
growth.
This is dead. Like, find a new villain. Find something else to focus the show on rather than Sue just trying to find any way. It's like watching Wile E. Coyote cartoons.
Yeah.
Like, it's just happening for
Have
no
you
reason.
Said that before, or did somebody else say that to
I
me the other day?
I don't know that I've ever said that before.
Okay, well, somebody said that to me the other day about Glee. That's like crazy.
That's weird.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So,
because I think that Sue can grow and still be Sue and still make her little
right,
side comments
the
same
today.
Way
she
Santana
was funny.
Does, you
she
know?
Was sarcastic today, but she also was very well intended.
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to do anything rude or over the top ridiculous, but she still has the ability to be sarcastic. I mean, I feel like Glee doesn't understand that people can be sarcastic and not also be assholes.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Like, the only way to
and
be sarcastic the only way to be sarcastic on the show is to be a villain.
I'm gonna laugh every time.
Yeah.
Like, humor only comes from people being mean, which I think is kind of a weird message that the show puts out there.
Yeah, I'm really nervous about this Artie Becky thing, actually, thinking about that and people being mean instead of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. But
I am too.
I think those are all the predictions that I have. Any predictions on other, I think we covered
it.
I want another Santana
solo.
Not
until 2012.
I know. Oh, goodbye Glee 2011.
I know. And welcome Glee 2012. Please be better than the Glee of yore.
Not that we don't love you guys. Not that we don't love Glee still. Clarifying for all of our iTunes fans that think that we are Glee haters. We are Glee lovers. We want them to excel.
Yes. Right.
Happy holidays.
Yes.
Happy
holidays. We'll see you next year.
Enjoy.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.